Hi, and welcome to Live at the Backyard Comedy Club podcast here in Bethnal Green, East London, the UK, and still, for a matter of a couple more months, Europe. I'm joined here by my co-host, Chris Anastasi. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing very well.
And today's guest, the wonderful, the very funny, Joey Page. How are you doing, man?
Oh, hello, everyone.
Yeah, over the moon to be here.
Yeah, I am.
Joey's a comedian who plays the Backyard Comedy Club many times. As you may or may not know, if you've heard before, I'm one of the regular hosts here at the Backyard Comedy Club. And Chris is a man.
I'm an existing person who brings the laptop.
Okay. And good hair.
And good hair. Yeah. That's why. Gets me into most of my places that I need to be.
This is a follically strong room.
Yeah, at the moment. A few more years.
Yeah. I'm just hanging on to mine. Yeah, I'm starting to having to no longer have it in a sharp parting anymore.
Well, that's when you know you're nearing the end, when your haircut starts to look like a hand just clinging onto the top of your forehead. Try for all love of God, Jesus. Slipping away like Jack into the sea.
Known each other for years, Joey, haven't we?
Yeah.
A good decade we've gigged together, but as the comedy roundabout would have it, we've been in each other's company a couple of times in the last few weeks.
Yeah, twice in 2 days, after probably not seeing you for about a year or so. I seem to remember a gig on the Isle of Wight that we did in
a tiny little
wooden room.
Yeah.
And we had to get I don't know if you've been to this part of the Isle of Wight, but you get the normal ferry over, Chris, right? And then there's like a little tiny port from, like, you have to get a ferry from one side to the other, but it takes longer to get on and off the boat than it does to actually go across this tiny stretch of water.
Oh.
And then there was a gig there. In a little
pub with beams that were lower than Colin Cole was headlining, and he was like a good foot taller than the room.
Yeah.
He's a massive Australian man.
It's amazing how far you comedians will go for a gig across any mild stretch of water.
but then we have probably gigged with each other for like over a year, and then twice in 2 days.
Yeah.
And it always happens like that with everyone. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's like bookers can only hold 5 people's names in their head at a time.
I think it is a bit of that sometimes.
You're either in their head, in which case you gig with them all the time with the same 5 people.
Yeah.
And then all of you fall out of that booker's head.
Yeah.
And they have a new 5 comedians.
Yeah.
All shiny and new.
It's almost like they have lists that they go through.
I don't want to be rude in case there's any bookers listening, but I'm not sure I've booked gigs before, and I've never been as organised as to have a list. This isn't a Nazi party.
I think when I've booked gigs, which obviously I'm not very organised, so it's not a recipe for anything that's going to go well. I tend to just see who's online on Facebook and go, E3, E3. That's how I used to do it.
Glenn Wolf's
and then I
active.
Stopped.
Last appeared online. That's what you go by.
Yeah. What were you last on? Facebook. Great, I love you.
I might start listing Facebook as a credit underneath my name on flyers. Being seen on Instagram, Pornhub. When was the last time you were active on Pornhub, Joe?
I can tell you right now.
Should I just hand over my phone?
Yeah, if you could. Do you not know that's part of this podcast? You have to give us your internet history.
It's fine. I've got very little to hide. Probably something, but not much.
So, what's been getting on your tits?
It's
our new round. We've got these.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, just boring things, really, like money, cash flow. Yeah. Not too much. I'm pretty happy. I've got a sort of renewed sort of zest for what I do for a living, which is obviously this. Mm. And then also, like, just moved into a decent place. I got married in June, so I've got very little to moan about, other than, like, just the little things of, like, oh, I've got I've got to find some money. You've always got to find money for something. That's the thing, I think.
Did your new zest for life and the creative industries happen coincidentally at the same time as you now having a moustache?
Yeah, well, what happened was, right, I wasn't supposed to. It was my stag do coming up, right? And I knew that all my mates and my brother and my old man would try and make me look like a prick. And I'm already pretty good at doing that in the way I dress and present myself anyway. And I thought, I tell you what they won't see coming. If I turn up with like a really boss moustache. So I turned up at the airport with it and everyone obviously thought that that was hilarious. And then the problem was I got really attached to it. So I shaved it off for the wedding, but I nearly didn't. And then as soon as the wedding was over, I started growing it back. Because as well, I sort of changed my look. I used to wear a hat and look a bit sort of Pete Doherty-esque. And I just thought, number one, that's not really in anymore, that look. And two, I was fed up of looking like a shit version of a young version of me every time I looked in the mirror. So I thought, if I just look completely different, then that solves that.
Starts to look like the memory of yourself.
Like, as soon as my hair starts going, I will buzz it all off just to say, like, it was a choice rather than a...
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to go. Just with the new looks, like you know, the better, you know, David Bowie having a completely different look for every album.
But no, I'm a massive, massive Bowie fan. Like, me and my wife got engaged in Berlin on what would have been his 70th birthday. Wow. And I sort of planned that all out from the day of his death, where you had like a little like listening party, like got some people around, got really hammered, put some records on, and they were like, so he was 69, he would have been 70 next year, let's go to Berlin where he made loads of albums, there'll be stuff going on, we'll get a big group of us and we'll go. And then it was like,
were there stuff going on?
Yeah, it was great. There was Bowie karaoke, there was like Bowie tribute band night, a few exhibitions and stuff. So we just did like a weekend of Bowie stuff.
Did you go to Bowie Deinhoff's as well, the famous bar that you hung out in Kreuzberg?
Yes, so that's where the karaoke was, actually, the Bowie karaoke.
Was it?
And then we went to the house you used to live on that road. There was people stood outside with candles. That was a bit weird, so we went back inside. And cause it was like -10. And then somewhere in that weekend, I thought that would be a good time to propose. So, but I sort of planned it from...
Mm.
What does your wife do?
She is an actress and a contemporary dancer. She's like... immersive theatre and stuff. She's in a show at the minute, and then like just perpetually like looking for where the next job's coming from.
I will.
So, but it's kind of like going out of a comedian, but without it being, well, not going out of America, but without it being competitive, because we're in different, like, yeah, we've got the same problems and the same sort of understanding of how it all works, but also completely different.
You haven't decided to start, you know, working on your contemporary dance just to keep.
Oh, don't right.
So competition in the relationship.
So to say in one sentence that I've had a renewed focus on my career and I've started taking it seriously, and then to do this story which is going to undo all that. I went to Australia to do a couple of festivals the last couple of years because I was getting nothing here. And I think, like what you were saying, you become a bit of a grey name or a grey face. Agents can't even be bothered to reply to your emails. People don't, they think they know what you do, and it hasn't changed even though you haven't worked with them for like 3 or 4 years. Like, and I used to die in clubs all the time because I was like, staunchly, I'm not gonna deviate from what I think I should be doing, and then that would mean that I would die a lot. And then those promoters remember that. And when you go, but I have actually softened on that, and I've learned how to like play a room and not be so petulant, because I was like young, I started really young, and I thought I knew all the answers. And then, but you try and tell them that, and they just don't want to know. So I was like, I was getting a bit fed up, I had no work, so I just fucked off to Australia. And are we allowed to swear? Probably,
yeah, of course.
And like, did all right out there, because over there you're like the new guy, and it's like, oh, who's this, and why is he so good? Not because it was so good, because they haven't seen me working for 10 years. So then it was like, I've got 10 years of experience, but I'm a new guy. And so, but on the plane over, I was like, right, I want to try and sleep for most of this flight. I had a whole row, because that was an underbooked flight. And I was like, I'm just going to try and get some sleep. And I put some weird David Bowie album on that I hadn't really listened very much to. And I thought, right, what out of the three drinks, what's going to get me the most hammered so that I'll fall asleep? And I had like 2 glasses of red wine, which I never drink wine really at all. And then I thought, wouldn't it be good if I maybe put a bit of contemporary dance in my show? That'd be different. And I woke up like halfway through the flight and I was like, what on earth was wrong with me in that sort of period of madness? So it has crossed my mind, but The reason that I'm a comedian is because I can't sing and I can't hold rhythm and I can't hold a tune. So if I could have done any of those things, I would have been a band. There's no way I'd be doing this fucking terrible business. I'd be a musician.
You are a music guy, though. I mean, you were on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. You're regularly to be seen in the music scene in Camden Town, are you not?
Well, I don't know about Camden Town, but yeah, I've got a little radio show that I do, and it's where it's like new and alternative music, and like I do a podcast as well, and I'm always trying to interview people. It's a cool job. Like, I get to interview people that I really like. There's a guy called Kurt Vile, and I interviewed him yesterday for, and then went to his show and then hung out with him last night after he did Shepherd's Bush Empire. And so there's some real good perks to it.
Yeah.
But,
and what is the name of the podcast and the radio show?
The radio show is just my name. It's Joey Page Show. It's on a thing called FUVAR Radio, which I believe you've worked on.
I have,
at times,
yes.
Dave.
Yeah.
And also my podcast, I do it with like one of my best mates from school who's like a really good journalist. Mm. And he does like album reviews and like live gig reviews. But he also weirdly is the Evening Standard food critic as well. Because he's just really good at writing. So they just get him to do everything because he's like super clever. And it's called JJ's Album Club, where basically we just pick some albums that have come out, and then he'll say very eloquently what he thinks of them, and then I do my best, even if I sometimes agree with him, to argue with him and go, no, it's rubbish! I'm like the cantankerous little imp, and that's what I do. So I'm like, no, get off the fence, Jimmy, don't just give it a 5, you've either got to like it or hate it, you can't just sit. I'm just doing that all the time, just trying to make him have an argument with me. So he doesn't get drawn on it.
So you're doing fine then. You have absolutely.
I don't get paid for none of this.
You didn't need to say that on this.
So it's money gripes is your main.
No. Well, I don't know. I think without getting too much into this, because no one really is that. I would imagine not. This isn't that interesting to listen to. But I think I used to have certain misconceptions about how well I was doing or whatever. And I think it's hard. Like I did Nevermind the Buzzcocks, and I did that like maybe I hadn't even gone 2 years. And I got that, and
really?
I basically, because it might have been free, but it was like, I did a gig, Noel was there, he liked me, he took me under his wing, he got me to work on Luxury Comedy, and then he said, do you want to do Buzzcocks, I can get you in. And that was literally how it worked. Mm. And then people were coming to see me off the back of that, unbeknownst to me, and I wasn't always,
very good.
Hardly ever any good, because I didn't really know what I was doing, really. Because trying to do like surreal comedy in a club is quite hard, I think, and you've got to play the game a bit, whereas like I did Up the Creek on Friday, and I think settling down has been a great thing, because the only thing I now want to sort out is my career. So that's the only thing I'm really focused on. Like I've got a place and I've got a wife and I've got, I think they're massive things to sort out in your life. So like I'm really focused on it. And then you learn how to play the room. You go, oh, this gig needs that. Whereas before I'd have gone, I don't care what this gig needs. I'm doing what I do. And that's not always the way forward. So I think I've just grown up a bit. Like I got that early. Then I expected that that would carry on, but then they stopped making it. And then I wasn't getting on anything else because I was no good.
I went completely the other way around. I started by, how do I make this gig work? What do I need to do to be here? So, like, wherever I was in the country, whatever sort of, like, if they wanted some sort of, like, old school gagster, how could I do that? And now as I've moved on, I've tried to go, well, what do you actually want to talk about? So you do need both. I think you need to have...
Yeah, and I think... Like, I grew up watching Reeves and Mortimer, and I grew up watching Harry Hill, and I grew up watching, like, Rick Mayall, and they're the things that... Like, I didn't even really know what Reeves and Mortimer was when I started watching it. I was about 11. But I knew that's what I wanted to do, was be like that. And so I was pretty dyed in the wool. Like, that's how I was going to attack it. And it got me a load of success really early on, because in open spots, it's like, oh, this weird, quirky guy is different. So then you think you know everything, and then you get put on Buzzcocks, and then you double think you know everything, and then you... Then it takes you ages to realise you don't know nothing, and actually, it's quite a hard climb down from there, and then pick yourself back up, and then you know. So
that's the hard part, though, isn't it? Picking yourself back up, especially if you've had an early success, because you have to realise so much about yourself in order to do it. But it's good. I think it's really good. Like, there's so many people that don't realise, and they just stay where they are.
But now, I guess it's just a bit of impatience. Like, I think I can understand why it's a long way back, but I think. it should be slightly shorter. Like, I'm like, I know, I've learned now and I'm ready.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we'll get back everyone else is like, we'll decide when you can come back into the fold. But, yeah. But,
it's like punishment, isn't it? It's like, no, you've got to wait outside for a little bit until you really learn that lesson.
Yeah.
And you're like searching everywhere going, what is it? What have I got to learn?
Yeah.
I
feel like
it's a very unforgiving profession. We were talking about this in the coffee shop before we came in. Then you got David Cameron coming back into politics after being probably, I would say, the worst Prime Minister this country's ever had.
Yeah.
You know, to gamble the future of the country on a referendum without having any plan. And then when it went the way that he didn't want it to go to, he just pissed his pants and ran away.
Yeah.
And leaving a catastrophe. Whatever side of the Brexit debate you're on, you can't argue that this is an unplanned, catastrophic mistake.
Of course, it's very unsettling.
And he caused all of it.
Mm.
By a gamble, just so that he could be Prime Minister for one more year. And yet he could come back and take the second highest job in the country and be Home Secretary. And Hillary Clinton looks like she might be running for president in America again. And you're so bad.
Yeah.
You lost an election to one of the most repulsive human beings on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
How could you possibly get a second crack at that?
Yeah.
And yet, whereas, if we have a bad gig in a club that has four stag do's in that all started drinking at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And apparently your jokes didn't quite go down what they were expecting for the evening, and then they started a fight halfway through your set, you're not allowed to come back to this club anymore.
But I feel like because I do compare everything to music. I don't watch a lot of comedy, and I think it's because I'm very suggestible. Like, if I watched loads of tapes of one person, I'd probably start to sort of take on some of their mannerisms. So I just look at musicians all the time, and I'm like, all the people I like, if they had to deal with stag do's for the first every weekend gig for the first 5 years of their career, they never would have made it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, it's
like,
sure.
There's just, I feel like there's such a lack of respect for the art of comedy in comedy, because it's so cheap and easy to put on. People will put it in unsuitable places and fill it with unsuitable people. It's like, I mean, it's probably one of the only professions where you feel like the thing that makes it the industry is the thing that's thought about last and least, and that's the performers. You know, it's like with Edinburgh, the only two people not making money at Edinburgh are the audience and the performers, and everyone else is making money out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you ask for the smallest amount of thing. When you think about it, it's a mic and a light and some chairs is all you need. And yet people manage to set up rooms so poorly. Mm. How many times have you turned up to a gig in the middle of nowhere and there's a dance floor between the stage and the audience? But there's no atmosphere. It's really hard to connect with them. Yeah, all the comedians say that when they come here. How long have you been running this gig? 5 years. And all the comedians have said that they don't want a gap between the stage and the audience. Do you think that at some point that maybe the next time you set it up, you could not put a gap between the stage and the audience? I'm not asking for blue M&Ms here. I just want the conditions to be correct for comedy to be able to flourish.
And I think there is a lot of, I think comedians are naturally quite hard on themselves as a group anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, a lot of the time, actually, if you look back at it, sometimes you can go, well, that room was never set up to give us all a chance. Do you know what I mean? But doing a lot of moaning here, aren't we?
Well, that's the point of this segment.
Oh, yeah, it was the bit. Well, it turns out there's loads of stuff.
There's loads of things.
I've got loads. Didn't realise they're coming in.
We do this as a secret therapy to bring
I bounced
out.
Bounced in. Yeah. I'm going to take a very long walk back home.
So we can finally deal with them.
So, like, wander along the canal and ever think about some things.
This is your final lessons, Joey.
God, thank goodness. At least it's all nearly over, that means.
Well, let's move on from it, because this will cheer you up. Chris has picked up some stories from the newspaper, proper newspapers, written by professional journalists, sold for actual money in shops, and we're going to question whether this was actually worthy of being in a newspaper.
Okay.
Yeah, so for our first article, and this is a full page in a mainstream newspaper. Title, Quads for Gram. A woman of 50 years old, after a series of IVF treatments, 35 NHS staff helping, I don't know if they were all there at once, she has become the oldest mother to not just eldest mother generally, eldest mother to quadruplets.
Right, okay.
I had to really check that then because I keep referring to them as quadrupeds, but that's not correct. To quadruplets. So this woman is 50 years old and she's had four babies all at once, three girls, one boy, that's important. And I just want to know, is this news? Full page spread here.
Okay, so I think it is news.
Yeah,
For two reasons. Well, three reasons. I mean, it's news because it's unusual. I think it's news because, actually, it gives a lot of people my sort of age and my position hope that one day we might actually get out of all the debt that we're in to go on and have a family, because we've now got till 50 to have a child. So that seems so, like it's been put in there as a piece of good news that by the time we finally climb out of all this financial trouble the country's in, I might still be able to have a child when I'm in my 50s.
So it's like a benchmark.
I feel like that's good news, and that's why it's there. But also,
if there's 30, if there's 20, you might see them graduate from college.
If there's 35 NHS staff on it, I feel like it's been reported on wrongly. It feels like it should be come out more like a from the angle of a Challenge Annika thing. It sounds like a big, like people like lighting, and there was a crane, and there's like an excavation. I don't know. But it feels like they've not really got to the bottom of this story, to be honest. But in short, I think it's only in there because it does give people hope that even though like 99% of young people are financially screwed, at least they know they've got more time than they thought to have kids. And I reckon that might be the only reason it's in there.
I think that's good.
Very I like good. It. That's good. That's a very good answer. I agree. I will take that.
In the Daily Mail, so I think that the angle of the 35 staff was going, look how much it's cost the nation for this woman to have children.
The woman did pay £7,000 of her own money on IVF treatment.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. So she's invested in it.
What's that? One Edinburgh show?
Yeah, it's not even a particularly large Edinburgh show, is it?
That's right. So all other comedians listening, if you just took the money from your Edinburgh show and put it into people, you could grow four whole humans.
Which is more than the average Edinburgh audience.
Yeah. And then invite them to your next show.
It's not even £2,000 per baby. So, you know, she's got a very good deal.
That's
there.
A really good deal.
If I had four and I wasn't expecting four, I'd sell a couple and get the IVF money back.
Yeah.
Then your quid's in.
How would you go about that?
Oh, just randomly. If they look the same, don't matter, does it?
No, I don't mean selecting which of the four. I mean finding customers.
Just put it on Facebook, innit? Yeah. Marketplace. I sold a sofa when I moved on Marketplace. I must have had about 40 inquiries before someone actually went to the right end of the deal and actually turned up and looked at it, and everyone else was like, is it available? Yes, nothing. Is it available? How much do you want for it? Well, what it says in the thing. Okay, will you take a 10 or less? Yes, nothing. Or, do you know what I mean? So, Marketplace, if you've got anything to get rid of, there's loads of lunatics on there that love it off your hands eventually.
Eventually.
Well, the brilliant thing about London is you don't need to do that if you want to. You never buy furniture, just walk the streets. And usually there's brand new furniture wrapped up just sitting by a house. Do you not notice this?
Yeah.
Constantly
it's
walking past.
Rarely brand new.
Well, it's probably. I have actually picked up some pieces that are never used.
Are you coming home from nights at the pub and coming home with a dinner table?
I live in a pretty good area, so.
Camberwell.
Camberwell's a lovely area.
It's very up and coming.
Yeah, right next to Denmark Hill. It's a great area.
It's been slightly sick in my mouth.
Art student.
Just because he lives on the heath.
South of the river.
Yeah.
What heath is this? Where are you?
Hampstead Heath.
I mean, Kentish
You ever heard
town.
Of the Beast of the Heath?
Kentish.
Running wild and naked.
That's not news.
That's not news. That's not news. So for our second news story, this is, do babies really need iPad dock built into their cot? This is the news of a company that is building luxury cots for babies and have built in an iPad dock. It doesn't come with the iPad, but it has built it in. A particular specialist on children's sleep, that's a job, has explained that this would actually damage a children's sleeping patterns if it was to have a screen.
I think, I have zero qualifications in sleep or any neuro programming, but I can tell you that a screen in a cot would affect their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did we really
but
need
that's
to get
not
this?
The question, David. The question is it news?
No, it's a no-brainer. It's not news. It's boring. I wouldn't read that.
Yeah.
And I just think, it's not news. Obviously, that's bad. And, like, screens are so bad in general. Like, And we've got to stop this. It's a madness.
Yeah, and literally,
absolute madness.
I went shopping for a toaster, and they asked me if I wanted it Wi-Fi enabled.
What would it do?
So that I could, like
press the button from upstairs.
Yeah.
But how'd you get the bread in it?
Well, presumably you'd have to preset something.
It's like the light switches that you can activate with your voice. You know, you've got to buy the bulbs that are Wi-Fi enabled as well to go in it. So you need to buy the bread that's Wi-Fi enabled.
Do I need
to get?
Does it burn the Wi-Fi enabled sign onto the toast?
It tells you your signal.
The Wi-Fi code.
What's the Wi-Fi code, mate? I'll just put some bread in. We'll find out. It scrambles every 24 minutes, so you just burn it into bread.
It's unbelievable. I mean, now you can have, like, you can have your washing machine Wi-Fi enabled so that you can turn your laundry on when you're an hour away from home, so it's ready when you get home.
Yeah, but also you can just set it to start later on most of them. So why not just do that? You're not telling me coming home, and if you've missed
maybe
it,
you don't.
If your life's so exciting that you think you're coming home and you're not, then I think you can stand to have to re-spin and rinse the washing, yeah. I would say.
I mean, they've still got a window of chance, because what if something happens exciting between that hour? Even if you've got the Wi-Fi enabled, you've waited until you're an hour away from home, you've pressed on your mobile phone, start my laundry, and then something crazy happens that means that you'll be later home. You've still had.
And also, if you've spent most of your battery dealing with your Wi-Fi enabled things, you've probably not given yourself enough extra battery for that last hour, which means you're probably going to run out of battery if something exciting does happen, and then you're completely fucked.
Oh, yeah. What do you guys think to the Amazon buttons? Have you seen those for like certain things in your shopping?
Yes.
So if you're running out of washing powder, there's a particular button that you press and it orders more and gets it delivered to your house.
So it's just one click.
Just one click.
See, here's the thing, right? I'm lazy, right? Yeah. And I don't really like talking to people that I don't know. Like, so I'm all for avoiding human contact and going outside. But, like, I don't mind that they're listening on my phone and then advertising things that I want, because I think, great, I don't have to look. It just pops up sometimes, and sometimes I get it right. But this has all just got to stop. Like, it's mental. The whole thing.
Have you had the advertising pop up on your phone yet that is about something that you would never searched for but maybe had a text conversation about?
Yeah.
Or even the vocal conversations. So I've had things where I've called people and spoken to them about things and never messaged it, and then suddenly I'm getting advertised for it.
We amazingly had Dave Chappelle here at the Backyard Comedy Club a couple of weeks ago, and it was a wonderful night, but I've not ordered anything online. I've not tweeted about it, I've not done it, and yet, as soon as I opened YouTube the other day, what would normally all be Louis C.K. and Bill Burr clips was suddenly all Dave Chappelle clips.
Hang on a second, there's zero Joey Page ones in there, is there? Okay.
I mean, I've saved those on my hard drive, and I say,
with all your porn.
Oh, God. That's...
This is what I don't want to talk about.
So you don't think it's news? You don't even think it's news in the fact that it should be shamed that...
No, because you know what? There's idiots out there. And the only difference between the people making this cot and me and you, Dave, is that these people making this cot know how to get to these people with more money than sense, and we don't. So all I actually want is a route to... What I'd like is for them to publish everyone that's bought one of them cots, and then maybe I'll ask them to sponsor my next show. That's all I want.
Clearly, you've got nothing to do and didn't just think of taping an iPad into the inside of your child's car.
Why would they need an iPad in there at all?
Of course, but it's playing ambient whale music or like showing them an endless video of how to make quinoa or some nonsense like that, probably. But I just think it's just so scary. Like I am genuinely thinking for my next show of doing it dressed as a phone. And then having myself blue lit so that young people in the audience pay attention for the entire show because they feel like they're looking at their phone. That's what I'm genuinely considering for my next show.
That's really good.
That is amazing.
There'll certainly be a bit where I'm dressed like that and I have a full-on meltdown, because that's what I started writing into my show as well. It starts going wrong and I'm dressed as something ridiculous. It's sort of like a new sort of key factor in my...
Are you going to have your battery running too low just before the end of the show so you're not going to make it in time?
I mean, I'll definitely have that. I'm not got that far in, but I'll take that. And sorry, I'm having that for you.
Feel free.
Thanks.
Is this your 2019 Edinburgh show?
Yeah, if I can afford it. I know, but I'm being like this today because I found out that having had a really good Edinburgh in a pay what you want venue, I still managed to lose $2,000.
Well,
so yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah. You can have a full house every night.
Oh, it wasn't every night, but but yeah, I am going to go back, and that's going in it.
What venue did you do that last
time? I did. It's a bloody good venue, to be fair. I did the Tron.
Nice.
Because it's like an actual comedy club.
Yeah, it is.
Low ceiling, dark room, set up properly.
Yeah.
It's got aircon.
No dance floor.
That's our third and final. Mother complains to zoo as children see meerkat savage squirrel that fell into pen. But critics say, that's nuts. That's the title. But in short, the story is actually more angled, not just at the mother who is complaining to the zoo because a squirrel got into the pen of the meerkats and was savaged by them, or as they put it here, there's something fantastic. She claims staff lined up to watch when the animal set upon it, and she posted a picture of staff involved writing, disgraceful. Keepers lined up to watch a squirrel get attacked and eaten by the meerkats instead of doing something to help. Children forced to watch squirrel die slowly in pain. Is that policy? So the article is actually more angled at her being a snowflake, as they're quoting.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think that's news. I think rather than sending the tweet or whatever she did, she should have just averted her own children's eyes and don't worry about the others. It's none of her business.
But they were forced to watch.
They weren't forced. They were forced by her because she was too busy complaining instead of doing something about it. And I doubt the staff lined up because if I have an understanding of how these enclosures work, there's plenty of room for everyone to have a look in. So I doubt there was a queue. Right. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like one at a time, like a sort of weird squirrel killing peep show. Do you know what I mean?
All queued up to only watch through the nose of a Concorde.
Yeah. But it's just a mirror of everyday life, isn't it? Like, you know, we all walk past people that are struggling and dying literally on the street every day. Some of those people somehow now have got card readers, which is amazing.
Have you come across a card reader? I haven't.
Yeah. But that's just life, isn't it? It's like you watch Attenborough. He's not jumping in and saving the poor, whatever it is that's being killed. He's making some money out of it. Yeah, or like,
he's having a good old talk about it as it happens.
Yeah, so where is she? If she's going to do this, she's got to keep going with it. She's got to apply it to everything in life. But is it news or isn't it news? Of course it's not news, but it's something to get the Daily Mail readers to go, bad, isn't it? Which is what I think they want.
It's what they want.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Right, I feel the Daily Mail readers would be more of like, yeah, fuck this snowflake. Yeah. That's why I feel they've angled it in that fashion.
They need to see the jungle squirrel eat squirrel world out there.
Yeah, well, they're tired of complainers, aren't they, Daily Mail readers? They don't want people complaining about...
Well, the last story I heard about was that they'd been eating cigarette butts and getting high off the nicotine and becoming really, like, aggressive.
Squirrels?
Yeah. So that was last year's squirrel news.
I thought cigarettes were meant to chill you out.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's what I read. It was like the squirrels were sort of sucking the nicotine out of the fag butts.
Of crack cigarettes.
Yeah, and then just, like, going nuts.
I start seeing squirrels with a cigarette butt.
No, you just check their fingertips because they've got those little human fingers like slight yellowing. That's how you know.
Okay,
so we're saying that one's not news.
I don't believe it is.
That's not news. Okay.
What's upset me is that we've paid for a copy of the Daily Star but not done a single story.
I'm going to just save that and read that later.
For your own.
Yeah, that's
your
my own personal viewing.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Yeah, bit of page three. Whee! Ridiculous. Still a thing.
I mean, people are. I can't believe that the Daily Star is still a thing. Like, who's reading it?
Yeah.
Me. That's who's reading.
I really enjoy a newspaper in general.
Can I have a quick look at it?
Yeah, of course
you can. I'll just open it at random and see what I find. My past is history and my future's a mystery, says Bruce.
That is literally the opening
widow,
line.
And that is exactly where I opened the paper.
That is the actual opening line to the movie Hercules starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. In a time when
history... Is also just generally how time works?
Hmm?
it is just also how time works. The past is behind you, and you don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's that's just
a description of time,
of the pursuit of.
Oh, maybe she's wiser than we think.
But yeah, mental.
Have we got anything else?
Let's remember the dogs of war. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah,
I suppose. And what else? Demi Lovato voted in the midterm elections, and there's a picture of her.
Who is she?
I don't know. She's a pop star.
There hasn't been much controversy this year. Or maybe I've missed it. There has of recent years coming up to Remembrance Sunday. There's somebody who's been on television and dared to not wear a pop.
Oh, it's in sport instead. There's been a lot of footballers from Northern Irish heritage, but they're having them printed onto the shirt, so every player's got one. And then if one says, "I don't believe in that," then everyone gets really annoyed.
Yeah,
so that's been happening.
Oh, it has been happening. Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
We're gonna move on to our third and final segment.
Mm.
Should you be made overlord of either the UK or, if you like, Europe? You are complete, all powerful, all knowing. What would be your first policy?
Well, number one, I would change the name of it. I don't want to be overlord. I think that Munga is underused.
Munga?
Yeah, you know, so I'll be like over Munga. I think, because, you know, you've got fishmonger, ironmonger, scaremonger, warmonger, and there's very little others, so I'd like to bring that back a bit, okay. So I'll have that. I very simple, really.
High monger or overmonger?
Overmonger, I think.
Or king monger.
King monger. anyway.
Great high.
If I was like prime minister or whatever, or the king of, not the king would have any power, but I very simply give everybody their birthday as their own personal bank holiday. No one should ever have to work their birthday. My birthday is the 1st of August, so at school, I never went to school on my birthday. I don't think I ever did anything work-wise or comedy-wise or anything until I was about 28. I always had my birthday off of whatever I did, and I just think, why shouldn't we all get our birthday off? That's a lovely paid birthday. That'd be nice. Yeah, lovely little idea. And it doesn't offend anyone. It's nice, and we can all cope. Do you know what I mean? And then maybe, like at school, you'd maybe get to pick one other person to share it with you. Because obviously, if your birthday's a Monday and everyone's at work, you're just at home watching Jeremy Kyle, it's not necessarily a great way to spend your birthday. Mm. But if you go, and I want them to come with me, then we'll have a right laugh.
You have a terrible situation at the schools where one child has been picked by 10 people. Yeah. And now it's...
Fine, you all just get your birthday off. That's it. That's that's one thing. And
what if
then,
you don't want it off?
Yeah, it's not compulsory, but...
Oh, it's not compulsory. You can choose.
But you can't store it.
You can't store it. If you want to go to work... It's
okay, so some people would generally opt to have it.
I think you would have it. And then also, let's just get rid of adults on scooters. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Yes, I can understand...
You get there quicker,
but you look like an absolute ball bag.
Yeah. And also, where do they belong? Are they pavement or road? Are they road?
Yeah. I'd love to see them on the road because it would...
kill a couple.
It would stop them doing it because they're too scared to go on the road.
You're talking about the non-motorised little flip-out scooters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get myself into real trouble because I now can't contain my anger when I see one. I just literally will go in the person's face. Oh, God. As they come past me. Because I just cannot... I just despair.
What trouble could you possibly get in? Because a grown adult on a scooter, what are they going to do to you, really?
Yeah, I reckon I could bash those nerds.
You could throw a key. I don't think I'm
particularly good at fighting by any stretch of the imagination, but I could bash a scooter nerd quite easily, I reckon.
With their own scooter.
With the scooter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hoverboards seem to be catching on for a bit, but they seem to have disappeared now. I mean, they are a grand ago, and... And they're not actually hoverboards.
There was the cheap ones. They were sort of 30, 40 quid.
Were they
30? Yeah, the dual wheel. They were quite cheap. I think they look terrible, though. They do look... You look ridiculous. I think people need to hold on to something so they feel like they're driving it.
Right.
You know, not happy with the feet. And they're fast. They're fast.
They are fast.
Yeah. But the scooters...
If everybody had a Segway, I wouldn't... If people were using Segways a lot, I'd be... If there was like a Segway lane, it just feels, you know, that we don't see...
Unfortunately, this country is not built for any extra lanes anywhere, be it for cars or bikes. You know, it'd be great if it was like Amsterdam, but it ain't. So, you know, scooters... I don't care about the safety of it. It just looks awful and people need to stop. Like, have some self-respect.
Yeah.
That's so, what I'm saying.
So in your new regime, scooters, adults on scooters, completely banned. What's the age cutoff?
12.
15.
15?
Yeah.
Okay, I see that. Right. You've got an uprising.
People old enough to have sex, too old to have a scooter.
You've got better things to be doing.
Yeah, but you could be kissing at 15. You're having a little fumble around, I guess.
Yeah, but what I mean is, up to your 15th, your 16th birthday, you're not allowed to have sex. Right up to the 6th, but you are allowed to use a scooter. And the day you turn 16, you have to put your scooter away and get your dick out.
Yeah. Or vagina.
Or vagina.
Yeah. Why not? What a double great present for being 16.
But there's rebellion, right? People, there will always be people defying this. They go, we're adults, we want to ride our scooters, and they're riding around. What do you do, Supreme Overmonger?
Banish them all to the Isle of Wight. They can get on with whatever they want, but I...
It has happened on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Why have you cursed the Isle of Wight with this island full of scooters?
Really, with the exception of the gig I was talking about earlier, which I think was all right, I've never had a good time on the Isle of Wight, so... So, yeah,
what have been your worst experiences on the Isle of Wight?
There was one gig. Do you know Si Thomas?
Yes.
He's like a really good mate of mine.
Yeah.
And I think he's really underrated. But,
I like Si Thomas. Yeah.
And we were doing a gig on the Isle of Wight. He did all right. He did really well. But like, they weren't facing the right way. There were people chatting. The compa wasn't dealing with it. There was like, it was just a mess, this gig. And I was closing. And I said... like, I got into a thing with this guy about why he thought it was okay to not even be facing the stage during the gig and all this kind of stuff. And then I just went, Si, from the stage. And he didn't answer me. He says, chicken. Right? I went, Si, nothing. I went, Si Thomas, the guy who was on first. I can see you stood at the back of the room. And he went, yeah. And I went, how long have I done? And he said, and I went, okay. And then I just kept on cutting out and going, Si Thomas, what time's the ferry? And just kept on, because it was just awful. And then, like, literally, I couldn't have got off and run to the ferry port faster. Not because I was being chased, but just because I was hating being there. And then just left. See, and said, I'm never going back.
You would have got there a lot quicker if you had a scooter, though. But you're on
not interested.
You're on the Isle of Wight.
If I'm gonna get attacked for not being very good at my job, I'm gonna at least look okay doing it.
Mm.
And that involves not being on a scooter.
You're slightly now you've got rid of the Pete Doherty look, there's a slight modernness about the suits you're wearing. Would you go for a proper scooter?
I would, but I'm a bit scared of them, and I think I'd easily kill myself by not paying attention.
I'm scared of them when other people are riding them. I saw an actual one of the, you know, the widely spoken about moped crimes today.
Right.
Moped being chased by police. As soon as I left my house, there's a park in front of my house. As soon as I left, the police chased them down the road and they cut off onto the pavement and then went across the park.
What upsets me?
The police reversed down the road. It was pretty cool.
What deeply worries me is the mopeds that have iPod docks and they're watching Netflix as they drive.
While they're trying to put their baby to sleep.
Now, one of the so many crimes, they can't sleep at night.
There you are, little Johnny. I'll just leave you with the first season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Come on, Dave. They only want to steal your phone so that they can get their kid to sleep.
One of the four children they've just had as they've turned 50. And then, as you see...
As if they weren't allowed on scooters because they're over the age of 15, the problem solved.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah. They are allowed to play bingo. Well,
I wouldn't ban that. That's fine. Old people really love that.
I like bingo.
Yeah, you've
I got... do. I'm a bingo fan. I've got a Gala bingo card.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
Win much?
You know what? I've won up to £15.
Up to £15.
Up to £15. I'm too ashamed to admit how much I would have won.
So you're planning to go out to Edinburgh next year with your I'm a huge blue light phone
show? So this year I did a show where I tried to explain the universe in under an hour, and at one point was dressed as Jupiter shouting at people going, Ian Sterling doesn't have to do this for a living, dress as a gaseous planet in the solar system. And so this year I am going to try and explain the afterlife. Okay. Which will involve me just for ages shouting, there's nothing at the end of the show. So, yeah.
And how can listeners find you, Twitter, Instagram?
I'm not very good at social media, but I am getting pretty good, I think, by my own standards, at Instagram. So, Joey Page Comedy, I normally post anything not worth sharing on there.
Goes on there. Good for you. And Chris Anastasia, you are on Twitter.
Oh, I hate saying it every time. You always make me do this. Mine's at YesYouCanAstasia on Instagram. And on Twitter, it's Chris_Anastasia. Let me spell that for you. A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I.
Where's that come from?
It's Greek.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, and I am at D Whitney on Twitter and Comedy Whitney on Instagram. Thank you very much, Joey. I hope to see you here at Backyard performing again soon.
Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. And thank you for listening. If you've liked the show, please rate and review us. It really does help. Do send us a tweet at BYC Podcast. That's the easiest way to get in touch with Chris or I. And you can ask us what you'd like us to ask our guests or who off the British comedy circuit you might want us to talk to. Thank you very much, Joey.
Thanks, you very much, guys. Chris.
You're welcome.
See ya.